Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowling. Sitting in always, the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis, will be calling in shortly. I'm just waiting for him to call. News has been pretty light, but we do have a great event coming up, UFC Fight Night 95 in Brazil, Cyborg versus Landsberg, excuse me, which is an event I'm actually looking forward to. I'm glad Chris Cyborg is finally getting her just dues, and quite honestly, is ready to go. You know, it's also been announced that JJ is going to defend her title in New York as part of the fight card. So that should be, for UFC 205. So. That's going to be interesting as well. We'll talk about that later. We're just waiting for Josh to call in so we can basically talk about this particular fight card. It's a stack card. You have 13 fights on the card. Everybody makes weight. So that's a full night of fights. For this particular card, and I think it's going to be a barn burner. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Enjoying the beautiful day, waiting for some fights this weekend. Life is good.
Well, I've been talking about Fight Night 195. What other fights do we have this weekend?
What's that?
What other fights? What other fights do we have this weekend?
Well, I got to be honest. Those are the only ones I care about. I do know that there's a CES event, which can be seen on Access TV, which I do love. But it is in the middle of my evening radio show here in the Mile High City, so I will not be watching. So the only fights that I personally care about this weekend is Fight Night.
Absolutely. Is there any news, really, that we can talk about before we get to Fight Night?
Well, yes. I think two big things coming out. One is a story that I actually broke on Pressbox Insider on Monday night, and that was the fact that Mick Maynard was going to be leaving Legacy and taking the job with the UFC as one of its matchmakers. I think that is huge. Obviously, the next day it came out that Legacy and RFA merged and created Legacy Fighting Alliance, LFA, and Thors and Sven Bean, who are the people who run RFA, will now be running the new co-branded promotion. And again, Mick Maynard is going to be taking over for Sean Shelby, while Sean Shelby essentially takes over for Joe Silva.
Okay. So we have Joe out. Is it official? Was it a sabbatical? Was it part of the old regime? Was it a peaceful departure? Because I thought, I was under the impression when we spoke, I'm sure we didn't talk about it, but I thought both Sean Shelby and Joe were out, and they were putting somebody new in there.
So, Joe is just flat out retiring. He just wants to spend more time with his family. He doesn't want to do the grind anymore. He wants to take some time off. I'm pretty sure that Dana White is the one who talked them into keeping Sean Shelby and basically stating, hey, we're not in a position to lose both people right now. look at all the things that, that Joe does. Yes, he's the matchmaker, you know, and that's what he gets credit for. But what is he actually? Well, he's actually the vice president of talent operations. Okay, he's the one who is going out and personally finding all of this young and up-and-coming talent that the UFC has. It's not just, hey, all right, we have 400 guys on the roster. You're going to fight you. You're going to fight you, so on and so forth. No, the guy literally flew all across the world, watched all kinds of no-name people that we've never heard of to evaluate if they were any good. He watched tons and tons and tons of film and then sent some of his, you know, some of his team out and said, hey, go watch this guy fight. Go watch this guy fight. You know, there was a lot that Joe did. And so just thinking, hey, I can get somebody else, you know, one of my media guys to come in and do that. I think Dana, you know, kind of talked him into the fact that at least for the next 5 years, while I'm running the show and teaching you guys how to do things, I need my guys with me. And so I think that's where it ended up falling with the promotion of Sean as opposed to bringing in one of their own people. Because I do know that when Joe initially said that he was done, that was the original plan was, okay, cool, we'll just throw our guy in there and start moving forward now. And I think Dana just went in and said, guys, pump the brakes. Don't be dumb. You know, I understand you just bought a $4 billion machine, but you lost a good piece of it. Unless you know what you're doing, don't think you can, you know, fix that engine.
Yeah. You know, look, I get it. And it's a smart move by Dana White because he still has financial interest in its growth. You know, nobody wants to see their stock or whatever, their stake, take a pumble like that. You know what I mean? He still has interest in the company growing and, you know, growing to be better. So I think definitely get it. And congratulations to Sean for, you know, getting in and staying in there. It's a guarantee now that, you know, at least for the next 5 years, the company will still be on the up and up. Because what a lot of people don't know in these acquisitions and things, and they think they can just walk in and do the job, is a lot of matchmaking, a lot of talent stuff is about relations, calling the camps, calling the managers. They pick up your phone. You guys do all the backdoor stuff before the presidents and the big guys come in and say, oh, we got a deal, you know. And for a lot of times, they don't get the recognition that they deserve because they think it's always the big guy that goes and cuts the big deal or, you know what I mean, puts things in place, and it's not. It's a lot of smooching. It's a lot of sitting down and talking. It's a lot of compromising to come in and make some of these big things happen. It's just not putting two fights together, fighters together, should I say. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, and, you know, again, I've been talking to a lot of fighters on my show here in Denver about the upcoming change and just, you know, getting them to explain the inner workings of how it actually plays out when, you know, they're contacted and a fight is offered and so on and so forth. So, you know, Joe might contact you or he might contact your manager depending on the relationship and say, all right, we're going to send you over a bout agreement to fight fighter A. We need it back in 48 hours if you want to be, let's say, the main event of this card. 48 hours comes back. He'll hit you up. Hey, do we have a signed bout agreement? Any kind of wishy-washy excuse, whatever it may be. All right, boom. That agreement is no longer valid. It's now void. We'll send you out a new one. But now it's no longer for the main event. They've already moved on because they send out three or four of those because they know how the business works and they know they could send out 100 and they're still only going to get one agreement signed between two fighters.
Right.
And so they'll pull it back, all right, we'll send you out a new one. It might be for the same fight and the same card, but now it's a different spot. You're now the co-main. And again, you have 24 hours now to sign it. And if you don't, boom, maybe the next bout agreement they give you is for a completely different fighter on a completely different card. Who knows? Or you might not even hear from him again for another 3 weeks because he can't deal with whatever injury or toothache or whatever it is that you may have going on that's prohibiting you from signing the contract for the card that he is building at that time. And then, boom, once those 12 fights are done, on to the next three cards and continually building them as they go. But, again, if you're a if you are what is considered to be a prelim fighter, then you're getting the prelim offers, and they are, you know, good for the prelims of certain cards. Well, understand that prelims fill up rather quickly, and so if you're not quick to sign that contract, you know, he gave you an opportunity at three different cards over 45 days, and for whatever reason, you didn't sign any of them. So now you could be waiting 6 months before he circles back to you.
Yeah, and prelim money, you know, from what I'm hearing is still, you know, $1,500, $1,800, sometimes even less. I know it's less than $3,000, $4,000. $5,000 is a stretch, you know, prelim money. They really don't make that much money. And so many people just want to get in to prove themselves that that's their starting point. That's their entry into the business. And then, you know, if they do great and have dynamic and they're dynamic fighters and great finishers, then obviously you go up to the food chain to the, you know, the FS card, or then you move to the pay-per-view card. See what I mean? But as long as you're coming and always bringing it, you step up the ladder. But if you're a lackadaisical, boring fighter, you just stay on the prelims until they decide to cut you. You know, but it's really not great money. It's really not great money at all.
No, it's not. It is absolutely not great money. And if you're on a prelim card, not, you know, the Fox Sports prelims, just the basic, you know, we'll call it the Fight Pass prelims, you know, you're 2-2, 3-3 if you're lucky. You know, you're usually the hometown fighter of whatever city that they're in, that they're given the bare minimum to. They didn't pay any travel for. You're essentially awash when it comes to cost. And they're expecting that because you are the hometown kid, that you will bring 100 people with you that will purchase tickets that will offset the cost of them paying you the measly $3,000 that you're getting.
Right. Yeah. So, definitely works out. And the math
now
is interesting, but it's a science. It's definitely a science to it. So,
absolutely. Other big news.
RFA and Legacy merging. Quick question. There had been some rumblings about, quite honestly, one of these promotions going under. They just couldn't sustain what it is that they were doing. So is this just this merger to keep them both going and merging their resources and capabilities to, you know, make another push? How do you feel about this merger?
You know, I actually think that it's a smart merger, and I think, you know, a lot of it had to do with the fact that they're both on Access TV, and, you know, their platform for viewership was essentially the same. You know, they were competing markets, so to speak, so now they're just one. But I had Ed Soares in studio, not last week, the week before, because RFA was here in Denver. And one of the things that Ed had said to me is there were only, you know, three promotions that actually profit with every event that they throw. Not, you know, lose money, break even, whatever, but actually generate a profit, UFC being one. He said RFA was the second one. And the other one he threw out there was Legacy. He actually, you know, indicated that Bellator still loses money because they spend a ton on production and no one actually shows up for the events that they have, you know, maybe 1,000 people in the arena buying tickets. But anyways, you know, he was very clear that, you know, he thought that Legacy made very good money and was a very well-run business. The other thing I know about Legacy is Mick Maynard recently had it appraised. You know, he had it appraised, and it came back. And I don't know if it was the number he was hoping for, but I will say this. It was certainly more than I thought that he would get for it. Obviously, yes, the UFC went for $4 billion, but that's the UFC. None of these other promotions are even close to the UFC. They don't have the reach. They don't have the market shares. You put all of them together, and they're still not competing with the UFC. And so I didn't really realize how much money Legacy was actually worth. And, you know, again, I don't know that it's what Mick was hoping for, but it's certainly not chump change either.
Right. So, well, that's definitely a good thing. I mean, that'll definitely be a good thing for Access TV, you know, and if they're in two completing different markets now, they're in the same market, you know, and basically their regional market share has grown, you know, and if they can still keep doing what they're doing as far as making money and keeping their show where they want to go, it's only going to go up. It's only going to go up, you know.
Yep.
To really interject there, what you said about Bellator only has to put one or two more things in place, in my opinion, to start turning profits on their shows, and they're working on it. Don't forget, as far as company structure, this is where the UFC was in 1994, 1995, 1996, all the way up to probably about 1999. This is where they were, and they were doing pay-per-views. So pay-per-views isn't the answer. It's building everything around it. And it seems like Bellator 3.0 now is, with Coker and the group, are putting the show together. Then they're going to really start hammering, you know, bringing in the crowds and everything. I mean, they've announced last week that they're even going to be in Israel, you know. So they're willing to go places that the UFC just doesn't find as a viable market or a profitable market for them. So it's going to be interesting. But I think Bellator
is
on the right path.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I continue to expect big things from Bellator.
All right.
Now, there's some other big news out there. Now, here's the thing. I don't have confirmation in the sense that I have not spoken to the horse, the person I'm about to speak of. This person has not physically said, yes, Josh, this is true. Everybody else around this person, though, has told me, yes, it's true, and now it's up to this person to make said decision on what they want to do. So here's the deal. Ronda Rousey is sitting on a contract offer for UFC 206 to be the main event against Amanda Nunes for the Bantamweight Championship. Whether or not she takes the fight is yet to be determined, but I have been told by all of her peeps that she has been back in the gym, that she has been training hard, and that she's focused. She's actually watching film. She's not only critiquing past fights, but filming herself in practice and critiquing her practices and really trying to improve. Now, you and I have both said she needs years of striking, footwork training to get onto Holly's level when it comes to striking. But she doesn't need that for Amanda Nunes. And if what I think she's going to do is what she's actually going to do, then she doesn't need it. We do know that she's got her four-movie commitment to Lifetime. Okay, the four movies that she's going to write, direct, and act in, all about women empowerment, that are all set to release in 2017. So we know she can't consistently fight in 2017 because she's already booked doing other things. With that said, I do think that she can fight Amanda Nunes, recapture her title, and walk off into the sunset and go do this Lifetime stuff that she wants to do. And then instead of coming back to the UFC to defend her title. Look for Ronda Rousey to move over to the WWE. Stephanie McMahon is doing everything she can to woo Ronda. She's throwing a lot of money Ronda's way, and it's a schedule that she can work with. She can still do all of her Hollywood stuff. She can still stay in the limelight of combat sports fans. Now, there'll be a different type of fan base, being WWE and all, but it's still a huge market, and she can continue to be a huge star and continue to grow her Hollywood value, so to speak. And so I think that's probably what we're going to see.
And look, it's business. The only problem I have with that is, yeah, you want to retire as a champ, but you just want to retire as a champ. You want to retire great. Amanda Nunes has had problems with ground fighters. Everybody knows that. But she has to get past the striking. And Amanda Nunes is a – Holly Holmes is not a power puncher. She's really not. She's a power kicker. Okay? The Lioness, I don't know if she still's calling herself that, but Nunes is the power puncher. And
yes.
Misha found that out after the first right hand. That basically changed the whole tone of the fight and finished the fight. I don't think Ronda can deal with that kind of power. And that's why Ronda never fought and never will fight Chris Cyborg, because Cyborg, too, is a power puncher. And it's a different thing. It's a different thing. Years ago, when Chris Cyborg came into Strikeforce, you know, I don't know if you remember that. I know they've taken the videos down now about Chris Cyborg sparring guys and knocking them out, you know, in sparring sessions. She's just that powerful. She picked up Tito Ortiz
and
had him
Tito
in a triangle.
Ortiz, yeah.
And slammed him. Slammed him. Okay, Tito was shocked. Oh, my goodness, I didn't believe she was that strong. Slammed him out of the triangle. You know,
a 260-pound Tito Ortiz.
You know, that's something and I'm taller than Cyborg. Cyborg is right at my shoulders. I'm not taking anything from her. I'm telling you, she's a power puncher. She knows what to do. She was giving Gabrielle, fits. She fights for Ryzen. She was giving her fits in boxing matches.
Yeah.
So I don't see it. I don't see it. And to be knocked out twice, that's kind of a bad way to go out. That's the fight game, but that's a bad way to go out. It truly is. So, you know, I hope she comes back. And I hope she judos her, you know, becomes a great judoka to win her belt. But just winning is really not everything. You know. So,
I got to be honest. I love Ronda. I'm a huge Ronda fan and a huge Ronda supporter, and I'll support any decision she makes. But I hope she stays retired. Hope she stays done. She has nothing left to prove. Even if she comes back and beats Amanda and recaptures the title, here's the thing. She didn't beat Holly. She didn't beat the person that humiliated her, the person that, you know, head kick KO'd her. She beat another person two times down the line. It's not going to be the same. The championship's not going to mean the same. Everyone's still going to throw out the Holly Holm question. So it's not going to give Ronda the closure that she's looking for.
Hello? You still there?
Yes.
We lost you for a minute.
George.
Well, I agree.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. I definitely agree.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but money's money, you know, and getting the title and winning the title, you know, is a great way if you want to go out like that. You know, that's what haunts Anderson Silva to this day, if I'm just being honest. Okay? Anderson lost his belt because he was goofing around. Anderson Silva's never been the same. You know, quite honestly, in my opinion, he's just fighting for money because he has a family that he still has to support. And he can say with his mouth, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to be the champ anymore. I just want to fight. I enjoy fighting. There has to be a goal. There has to be something that you're reaching for. And Anderson Silva, being who he was part of that definition. Has to be everything. Look at Bisbang. Bisping is reveling in the fact that he not only beat Anderson Silva and redeemed himself by knocking out Rockhold, but, you know, he wants to do what? He wants to defend the one loss that has probably burned at him for almost 10 years. You know, and that's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous person to go up against because his confidence is through the roof. Through the roof. And on top of that, he's fighting a Dan Henderson that we all agree is a couple steps back. You know, Dan should really, really be retiring.
You know, and the more I listen to Dan Henderson talk leading up to this fight, Dan Henderson shouldn't even be in this fight. You know, because everything he said is basically how he was ready to retire and that he was done. And then, you know, the UFC gave him this opportunity. You already made the mental decision. You were done. So I don't want to see you in this fight. I'm worried. While I do think Dan can win this fight, we talk about it all the time. Once you've made that mental decision, nothing's the same. And so, you know, what kind of Dan Henderson are we going to see? And we've already seen Dan take shots he doesn't need to take. And so, yes, I do have genuine concerns for Dan Henderson's safety just based on the stuff that he has said. He has flat out told me that he is done fighting.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. But the caveat there and the X factor is Dan Henderson. It really is. You know, every time I think Dan has bitten off more than he can chew, Dan shuts my mouth. Dan Henderson, I said it before and we'll say it again, if not, will go down as one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time, fighting everybody from in heavyweight all the way down. I think he fought at one point in time to 170. Nobody has ever been able to do that ever and be successful, ever, okay, ever. So you can't take anything away from him. And I agree with you, everything you're saying, but what's the motivation factor? Dan knows Michael's coming and take his head off. Maybe Dan wants to prove one last ride, one last something to himself that can motivate him to do things that we've never seen Dan Henderson do, like throw more than that right pan punch, start kicking again, start throwing that jab left hook again, you know, same left hook that knocked out Wanderlei Silva.
Because it was the right hook
that knocked out Bisping.
Here's the thing. We know what Dan's motivation is. And even though I think mentally he's done, which is fine, he does have motivation for this fight. He has two reasons. One, Dan, first off, doesn't genuinely dislike anyone. You know, Dan's easygoing. That's not who he is. But he's not a fan of Bisping. And anytime he gets the opportunity to possibly knock Michael Bisping unconscious, absolutely he's going to be motivated for that. And more importantly, there's one accolade that Dan Henderson has not achieved yet. With all of his greatness, he's never had UFC gold. He should have.
Yep.
You know, he got robbed against Rampage. He should have. But he's fought for it several times. He's never won it. And this is his last opportunity to get that one piece of hardware that has eluded him for how many years. And so if anyone out there doesn't think that that in itself isn't motivation enough, then you're not a competitor. You don't know what drives Dan Henderson.
Well, we'll have to leave it right there. Don't forget to check out UFC Fight Night, even though we didn't get to it. And for this, for any other podcast, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. I want to thank you, partner, for sitting in. And check out Scrap Fight Magazine at scrapfightmag.com for the latest MMA news and information. You can go to The MMA Corner, that's TheMMAcorner.com. You're about to stay knuckled up, and we'll talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.